This is a Trenchless Technology podcast with your host, Sharon Bueno, editor of Trenchless Technology magazine. Welcome to this episode of the Trenchless Technology podcast, our first one of 2023. Joining me is NESTT Executive Director Matthew Izzard. Today's episode focuses on the state of the trenchless industry, with Matthew sharing his perspective and insight of where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. Matthew, who has a lifelong connection to the trenchless industry, took the NESTT reins in January 2020 and got a short honeymoon period when COVID-19 shut the world down just 3 months later, forcing the cancellation of the 2020 NODIG show. He takes us through that process, as well as what he and NESTT learned by going through that experience, which he says has made NESTT an even better and stronger organization. We also chat about the upcoming NESTT NODIG show, which comes to Portland, Oregon, April 30th through May 4th, and what attendees can expect at the conference. Before diving into the trenchless industry's outlook, Matthew answers the proverbial New Year's resolution question, so be sure to catch that. It's all good stuff, so let's get to it. Here's my conversation with NESTT Executive Director Matthew Izzard.
Well, welcome, Matthew. I'm glad you can join me on this episode of the podcast, and Happy New Year to you and yours.
Happy New Year to you as well, Sharon. Thank you.
I feel like it's obligatory when you do an interview at the start of the year, you have to ask, do you have any resolutions? Are you a resolution guy?
Not particularly, because I only end up breaking them. However, I do want to try to be better to myself this year. And one of the things I've decided to do, I used to be a soccer referee in England, and to be more involved in the local community, I've decided to start again over here with some youth games. So I'm looking forward to doing that. And we have, for some reason, our family has all of their birthdays in January. So it's a great time for the family, but an awful time for the finances. But it's good to be together as a family at the start of the year.
Well, good for you. I am not a resolution person, so you have me beat right there already. So let's just jump right in and talk a little bit about your trenchless background and how did you get involved in trenchless technology and just how that helps in your role as NESTT Executive Director.
Yes, well, I was. It's an interesting story. I was, I guess, kind of born into trenchless technology because the year before I was born, and I don't know that it's all connected, but my father started the version of TT Technologies in the United Kingdom, selling the moulding equipment and pipe bursting and things like that. So I was, from a very early age, sort of being brought stickers back and literature and with pictures and all these kinds of things of different machines. And as I progressed in the school holidays, I ended up going there to help out and I actually started there when I was 16 at TT and spent 14 years there going through the in the workshops, doing the servicing on the equipment, ended up doing some training, being a service engineer for them, and eventually into sales and senior management. Through that process, got involved with the UK Trenchless Technology Society and eventually the International Society. So through working through manufacturers and hire companies, I was regularly speaking to engineers and contractors about how the industry works. I've got a good background of the overall industry. Then when I moved over here, there was obviously a natural tendency towards the trenchless technology sector. It happened to coincide with Mike Wilmitz retiring from NESTT, my predecessor, and the interview process that the NESTT undertook at the time. And it was always a position I'd aspired to and NESTT admired as an organization. So it felt very much like the stars were at that point, like the stars were aligning back in the happy days of January 2020.
The happy days of 2020, right. They were very short lived. Yeah, you became executive director of NESTT right before everything kind of got shut down. Everything in the world shut down. The trenchless work did continue, but it was definitely challenging. What did you learn from that experience?
Yes, it was very interesting. 13 weeks into the job, we had to cancel NODIG show in Denver, which at the point was the largest show that we'd committed to. Looking back, it was a remarkable time. And I think to an extent my naivety helped, because one of the first things that we had to do in cancelling the show was make a decision about how we handled speaking to all of the exhibits, all of the engaged stakeholders. And we made the decision to contact them all directly, which, again, it was a unique learning experience, because to have those first points of contact, that kind of conversation wasn't easy for a new executive director coming in. The support that the industry gave us and the loyalty, there was a mix and a range of conversations, but we managed each one as best as we could. And out of those, I think the strength of relationships that we've got with many of our sponsors now really echoes back to that. And it really forced us to take a look at our own organization, how we were structured, what was working well, what wasn't. There was no hiding away through. I think every organization was the same. There was no real hiding. We had to look at what made us effective as an organization. It challenged us to look at what other ways we could deliver our program, and out of those it's enabled us to grow and really sort of set the platform up for where we are today. So it really was an interesting time, but it was a time for reflection and for growth. It's amazing looking at an ESCT as an organization in the last 30 years, how it's really grown from a group of a few people into the organization it is today, and how through those different stages we've had to evolve. COVID really was an extra catalyst to that, and I believe we're a better organization through having worked together through it.
What did working through the pandemic say to you about the trenches industry itself? Because projects continued. Manufacturing facilities stayed open. Everyone kept working in our industry. What do you think that says about the industry?
It was incredible. And I've already spoken about the loyalty and the bond that we have within this. It is a unique industry niche within civil engineering. And we're all really accountable for each other and for the success generally of trenchless technology. It's always been an innovative industry. It's always been pioneering. It's always been solution based. I've been out on job sites where things don't go quite as they should do, or the soil conditions change, or whatever the factor is. And you can't just stop and walk away and say, that's it, we're done. You've got to find an answer, and you've got to be able to use your network and your communications to pull everybody together. And I think we really saw that, there was a unity in the industry to say, we will get through this. We will survive. And while there were challenges, and things like the supply chain, for example, was a real issue for many companies, the understanding right from the point of owners through to the engineers, through the contractors, to the manufacturers and the suppliers in very uncertain times, we didn't know when things were going to end, how it was going to evolve. I think the support that we showed each other, that human connection, really came to the front.
Before looking ahead, let's take a few minutes to look back. And how would you describe the trenches industry in 2022? You touched on it a little bit. There were some challenges, such as supply chain issues. There was recession, inflation, global crisis after global crisis, it seemed like, that was affecting things such as raw materials. But how would you describe the trenches industry in 2022?
That's a good question. It was a real wave for us. We saw from the NODIG show at Minneapolis that there was a real appetite for everybody to get back after the global pandemic, and there was a lot of talk about projects being released and some of the issues with the supply chain. The global events that we then saw and the change in the political climate again caused that to all go on pause. While really we've just come out of one crisis, and it felt we were sort of teetering on the edge of another. So it really felt like there was that pause in the middle. But as we've realised that life is continuing, we've really seen that recovery continue, and in some places that optimism start to return that we saw before. We've certainly, as NESTT in the last year, been able to get back to a full program of operations, including our virtual training. And it's noticeable that people are engaging there. There's a desire to get information in for the projects that are coming up. And we've particularly made a point of re-engaging with our regional chapters and our student chapters, because that program, the education program, was affected in the last 3 years as well. And it's only recently that a lot of those academic institutions are returning to a full program. So it's been a mixed bag for 2022, but I think we're well placed for 2023.
Looking at 2023 from your perspective, what is the overall outlook for the trenchless technology industry as a whole this year? What are you hearing from the membership?
Growth would be the word I'd use. As we're seeing a lot of the supply chain issues being resolved or worked around, whilst there are still some projects that are being held up, the majority are now finding that they're getting the materials to site as required. The projects that have been planned over the last 2 or 3 years are now starting to be released. The funding's there for them. So we're seeing a resurgence in people starting to ask about projects, and that's being reflected in things like we've had the highest number of applications for the municipal scholarship program for Nodig Show in Portland this year. And we know that the projects that are coming up there are many major contractors that are looking at doing quite pioneering projects in the area. So we're very much looking forward to, again, being part of that growth. And from an NESTT perspective, running a full program, which includes new publications, new training courses, the engagement on attended training, as well as virtual. So it feels like there's a breadth to the overall delivery program now that really builds on where we were in 2022.
You talked about growth there in the industry. What areas are you seeing or expecting the most growth in 2023? Is it in the fiber to the home? Is it in telecom or sewer? I mean, where are you seeing the most growth in use of trenchless technology?
The new installation fiber's long been a sort of new technology going in, and with the constant updates that we're seeing, that's always a growth in it, growth area. Electrification of a lot of things like the vehicle networks, and I'm sure as time goes on with things like hydrogen as well, those networks are going to be expanding. Rehabilitation has got to be one of the biggest areas for growth. I mean, just historically, as you look at the population growth in the United States, in North America, and as that infrastructure ages, it's all, you know, 100 years. If you go back 100 years and you look at the population explosion since then, that network is now up for renewal. It needs to be rehabilitated. It needs to be either larger diameters or sort of more effective through less leakage. So I think there'll be a significant growth in the rehabilitation market.
As you said, this is the first of the year, so trade show season is definitely coming into full swing. And I'm looking forward to getting out again and talking to people and hearing face-to-face what's going on in the industry. What are you hearing from manufacturers and contractors and the like for the coming year?
Certainly Nodig Show is being supported as well as it ever has been. And we're really proud this year in 2023. We've actually got three major shows. We've got Nodig Show in Portland, in Oregon. We've then got Nodig North, which is now in its fourth year and will be in Edmonton in October. And the ISTT, the International Society, are also bringing their show to Mexico City this year as well. So each of the countries that we represent, we have a major show. So the support and engagement that we've got from our from the manufacturers is very much a part of that, and in growing that sector of the market. The innovation, a lot of the products that they're coming up with, we're able to put in front of the owners. And the other thing that we're seeing a lot of requirement for is training, skill sets, recruitment and retention. It's great having the projects. It's great having the materials and the equipment, but you need the people to use the equipment and also use it in the right way. And that's one of the things we've always found with trenchless technology. It's the suitable application and the the skill of the operators just as much as the equipment itself. We're hearing that there's a demand for a lot of these projects. We're hearing that there's the equipment's available. It's really just about providing those connections and networks to make that happen.
What do you see as some of their biggest challenges going forward? I mean, labor and finding skilled workers is always at the top of the list. I'm guessing that's no different going forward.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you any exciting answers there. We'd completely agree with that. Retention of staff, of your employees, engaging them, making them feel valued, making mm-hmm. them feel appreciated. That's been shown to be really important in the last few years. Many people have made career changes. Some of them have come into the industry. Some have mm-hmm. left. The ones that we have, it's important to keep hold of that experience and keep hold of that enthusiasm, and providing them with training is a key component of what we try to do at NESTT, as well as the student program, the mm-hmm. postgraduate students, bringing them into the industry, providing that that gateway opportunity of recruitment through the shows is also a key component of what we're doing with the student chapters through their advisors, providing funding, scholarship programs, things like that, to bring them into the manufacturers, the contractors, for them to become the engineers of the future.
Now, NESTT is a critical component to the trenchless industry's growth. What are your goals going forward for 2023?
Getting through three major shows in 1 year. We will have over... I think I estimated the other day about 6,000 people that we will engage directly with through those shows, through the regional chapters. We have a full program of 10 good practice courses that we'll operate at those shows. We also will have the virtual training courses mm-hmm. that we brought in as a result of the pandemic that are proving very successful, because it means that people haven't got to leave their offices, they haven't got to travel, they've got access to that training from home. So we're seeing a return to a full program. I mentioned earlier as well about the students, making sure that we've got a new board. NESTT changes every 2 years. We get a new chair. This is the first board in the last few years that's really had that opportunity to sort of put the foot on the accelerator a bit with what we're doing. Craig Vandell, I've got to mention particularly in through the COVID pandemic, really pulled NESTT board together, set a clear direction of getting through the pandemic, and then providing the structure and the platform that we've really been building in the last year to then take us to the next level and provide all of these products that we have. So we're very much looking forward, I think, to now putting it into action. We've sat and looked at the way that we've operated. We've looked at what we're good at. We want to concentrate on doing that. And 2023 is very much about delivery.
The 2022 No Dig Show was the first full conference No Dig show since 2019. Talk a little bit about the upcoming show. Like you said, it's going to be held in Portland. What are you hearing about the interest in this year's show, and what are you most excited about?
We're looking forward to coming to the Pacific Northwest. And because I live in Seattle, it's my home show. I haven't got to fly to this one. I can put all my stuff in the back of the car and drive there. It's a beautiful part of the world, and the scenery up here is incredible. So we're looking forward to welcoming everybody. The attendance is promising to be one of the strongest ever. I've mentioned earlier about how the municipal scholarship programs really picked up the engagement, and inevitably that brings a strength of engineering companies and contractors as well. When we look at the No Dig Show and what makes it successful, the technical programs very central to that, mm-hmm. and the quality of the papers that get delivered. So that connection that we're providing would suggest it's going to be a strong show, and one that we're very much looking forward to. The planning committee that Michelle Hill coordinates have also come up with quite a few new ideas for this show. The show chair is Joe Lane, And part of his team, they've been planning a casino night instead of the conventional gala dinner. So things are going to be a little bit different. We'll still be retaining things like the auction for the education fund that we then put into the student program, and really making sure we're providing as many networking opportunities as we can for exhibitors and for sponsors. Bringing the certain events onto the show floor has been particularly successful, and that's something else that we want to continue. So we've kept all of the good bits. We've added one or two new things in as well. We hope that they'll be successful, and it keeps the show fresh and dynamic.
Well, it's going to be my first trip out to the Northwest, so I'm excited for that, actually. I've never been to that part of the country, so I'm glad it's in Portland, in that area. And casino night has caught my attention. I can tell you that right now. I love a good casino night. Are there any final thoughts from you regarding 2023?
Hoping that nothing major happens globally, that there's no more big things that sort of throw challenges in our way, and we really can start to put into place all the deliver all of the parts of the program that we've been growing on. The thing that I'm really engaged about with 2023 is just how much energy we've got from our volunteers at the 10ESTT. We've got 7 members of staff. There's about 2,500 members, 12 regional chapters, about 20 student chapters. There's a lot of work to do, and that's only possible because there's so many people out there that work for owners, that work for contractors, manufacturers, engineers, that are willing to be engaged and give their time to the program, whether that's instructing, helping write a training course, coming to a board meeting, deciding that we're going to have a casino night at the Nodig show. They're the people that really make the difference and make NESTT what it is. And it's great to have those people engaged, get to know them, have those relationships with them, and enjoy being part of this great Trenchless technology industry.
Well, that's it for this episode of the Trenchless Technology Podcast. Thank you to NESTT Executive Director Matthew Izzard for joining me. For more on what's to come in the Trenchless industry in 2023, check out the January issue of Trenchless Technology Magazine in your inbox, mailbox, or at trenchlesstechnology.com.
This has been a Trenchless Technology Podcast. To hear more of my conversations about the Trenchless industry, go to trenchlesstechnology.com/podcast.